when I was informed that I was going to be speaking this morning, I went before the Lord and started asking Him, well, what do you want to speak about today, Lord? He didn't give me anything but some directions in the scriptures. He said, go read this. Okay. So, like I always do, I put into practice what we're taught here. Meditating the word, assimilating the word. Started assimilating the scriptures that he was pointing me to. Began assimilating 1 Peter. Really good things in 1 Peter, and I thought, this has got to be what it is, Lord. So turn over to 1 Peter. This has got to be what you want me to share with the people. This is good stuff. You look in the, because I've been talking a lot about the born again trail and about, you know, the change. Gary's been talking about the metamorphosis. And we've been looking at the metamorphosis on an individual basis, which it is individual. I change. I'm being changed every day more into His image and into His likeness. As I was thinking about that word metamorphosis and thinking about, you know, we talk about the caterpillar and we talk about the butterfly. Picture in your mind that caterpillar, a little squiggly little thing running across the ground, goes into that cocoon. Think about the change that takes place in that cocoon. And what flies away from there, does it look anything like that little squiggly little thing? Not at all. And if you don't watch, I know for myself, I've caught myself thinking, without intentionally doing this, my mind shifts back and thinks, that's the born-again experience. No, that's not the born-again experience. This metamorphosis happens after the born-again experience. What I started out with, the moment I got born again, and the person you see today is such a completely different person. That metamorphosis that's taking place and continues to take place presents you with a person that the day I got born again was not here. Believe me, that person still had a lot of issues, a lot of problems. But the more that I spent time with the Lord, the more that change took place. The more my thoughts began to conform to His thoughts. The more I started looking more like He would look as He walked the earth. Same way with you. As you do what we teach you to do here, as you pray in tongues, as you spend time ministering to the Lord in private worship, as you meditate and assimilate the Word, confess the Word, and yes, fast. I'm not going to preach about fasting today. Somebody asked me, are you going to ruin my day and talk about fasting? No, I'm not going to ruin your day and talk about fasting. You can get that Wednesday night message if you want that. But as you do these things, that metamorphosis that takes place inside of you takes you from a place of where maybe you're not so nice to people. Maybe you don't really love them the way you know you're supposed to. And gradually, step by step, hey, I think I love that person. I want to be nice to people. I don't want to take advantage of them. It's not something that happens overnight. Something that gradually takes place. And you become a different person. Now, some people stay the same way. They get born again. They do nothing. Yes, you can go to heaven that way. Yes. But I want a little heaven right here while I'm on this earth. You know, I got tired of being the enemy's little punching bag. Some of you know what I'm talking about too. You know, there's still enough of those things, those strongholds left inside of you, that the enemy can just twist you any way he wants to, any day of the week, and you're twistable. Because there's enough live junk inside of you still. Yeah, you're born again. Please, don't misunderstand. You made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Praise God for that. You're going to heaven. Haven't really made that decision yet to really start down the road of change. You're still kind of contemplating that. You're kind of watching, seeing how the other people, how the change process goes in their life. No, I didn't plan on saying any of this, so it's just listen to what I'm saying. You're kind of one of these spectators watching to see, and oh, there goes somebody else, crash and burn. What's happening, though? You're letting life pass you by. Life's passing you by. You're just clocking time on the earth. And one day, you get to go be with Jesus. And I don't know what happens there. Maybe you enroll in classes. I don't know. But you'll find out what you've left behind here. You see, the beauty of the fact that you're here right now means that somehow the Holy Ghost was able to catch your attention and draw you to a place where you don't have to stay that way. Amen? You don't have to stay the way that you are. You can change. Just raise up your hands. Lord, help me to want to change. Raise your hands up right now. Lord, help me to want to change. Jesus, I don't want to stay the same way the rest of my life. Help me to want to change. Jesus. Amen. You see, once you start down this path and you get a little taste of freedom, yeah, you're free being born again. Please don't misunderstand, but I'm talking about freedom to where you can walk and not feel like at any moment the enemy can take your insides and just play games with you and hurt you. He sure tries to. He sure does. But I'm telling you what, when you give him less ammunition because you put more of that stuff to death inside of you, there's less for him to work with. Amen. Can anybody give me a witness? Amen. There's less stuff for him to work with. I want to give him as little as possible. Because I know what it feels like. I know what it felt like when I first got born again. What a messed up person. You talk about dysfunctional. Dear Lord. I was a wonderful sinner. And as a result, when I got born again, that brought some dysfunction. And then my wife and I we're born again, we get married. So guess what happens? You have two dysfunctional people together. We're going to talk about a little bit of that today. It's going to bless you. We're going to talk a little bit about marriage. Now, some of you, don't turn me off. You might say, I'm not getting married, I'm not married, I'm not going to get married. Please pray for those of us that are married. Okay? If you don't want it, you don't have to have it, it's your choice. But I know there's a large percentage of us in this room that are heavily involved in marriage. And we want some help. Help me, Jesus. Now, I thought at the first service, whenever Tim said, he gave his introduction and he was talking about him and his bride have celebrated 50 years together. Glory to God. Now, one day, I'll be able to say that. I can't say that today, but one day I will. For my wife and I, we've been together for 19 years as of last Sunday. So we're working on our 20th year right now. And I want to bring this idea of this metamorphosis into this marriage relationship. When we first got married, I'm telling you what, and my wife has no idea what's going to come out of my mouth. So if you see her shaking or you see sweat dropping down, just pray for her, okay? It was like taking two sticks of dynamite, tying them together and lighting the fuse. That was the two of us. We got married. I inherited two beautiful children in the marriage. She had been married before. I hadn't been married. She had been married before. And two wonderful children. I was married at the age of 27. The children were just about to turn 7 years old. They are twins. So I was instantly a dad. Having been born again for 2 years, and all of a sudden I become an instant dad overnight. Do you think I had problems? Oh dear Lord, did I have problems? I had all kind of trouble. And the biggest problem that I had was I didn't think I had any problems. That was my biggest problem. And I'm going to quote somebody that I spoke to about this subject. I'm not going to name who it is. They said, yeah, they wanted to try and fix their wife. Now, I'm not going to ask men to raise their hand because you have to go home with this person later. I'll raise my hand. I thought I was going to fix my wife. That will get you in so much trouble. See what was happening, and I didn't understand it. Fortunately, I had heard this message about praying in tongues and about change before we were married. And, you know, we're talking 20 years ago. So I heard some of the first tapes, meditation, imagery, and delivery. I knew what it was to pray in tongues and to change. I knew that much. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that. Because I needed every bit of that change. You see, He put us together knowing all of our weaknesses, all of our shortcomings. And He didn't put us together by ourselves. He joined us in this relationship. And His Holy Spirit came to be our teacher and to walk with us as we morphed, metamorphosis took place, and as we became a different person. And we became that person together. Tim said something to me a few weeks ago. He said, you don't know how much of her is speaking when you're standing there. And that's the truth. There's so much of her that you hear me say. Because of the way that we have grown into one person, I don't know where I stop and she starts. Do you understand that? Now I know, and I have to bring this out from time to time as I share this morning. I know for some of you that have been in horrible marriages, and you feel the pain of that right now, you don't even like to think about it. The healing that you're looking for is not something you find in a psychologist's office. The healing that you're looking for comes from the inside out. It comes out of that new nature of yours. You need to be healed. God wants to heal you. And that's why He brought you here today. At least to start in that process or to get some additional help in that area. Because there are people hurting. I have no doubt about that. Hey, when my wife and I got married, She had had a failed marriage. I watched. I saw the pain. I saw the inability that she had to trust me. Here I am, I'm the decision person. I'm the one that the responsibility falls on my shoulders. What is the decision, Mark? It's not her, it's me. And I saw her inability to trust me because of the hurt that she'd experienced in her own life. In that failed marriage, there was things that happened that produce an inability to trust a man. Who changes that? I thought I was going to. Bless God, this is the way it's going to be. In my house. No, it wasn't. It wasn't that way at all. And as long as I approached marriage with that attitude, there was strife. Fortunately, and I want to share this with you because you need this. Not because this is fun for me. What's on this paper that I have in my hand? You don't hear preachers talk this way. Preachers want you to think they're perfect. What's on this paper will show you how not perfect I am. And I definitely how not perfect I was. But over the years have been transformed into something that my wife can now live with. This came to us February 20th, 1994. At that point, we had been married for 1 year and 7 months. We were at that point in a church environment. Someone came up to us and they said, "The Lord has a word for you." I've seen some of those things that are, sure, give me whatever that word is and then I'll move right along. This wasn't one of those. Once we typed out this word, it turned out to be 5 full pages. It took about 20 to 30 minutes for this man to deliver this message to us. The guy was a prophet. He was the real deal. And anytime you get a visit from a prophet, it's generally because you're screwing up. And the Lord doesn't want to see you crash and burn. So he manages to direct your footsteps. In our case, we lived in a small town, well, somewhat of a small town, but we were driving about 2 hours to go to this church thinking this must be where God wants us to be. If for no other reason, it was for what I'm holding in my hand that he sent us there. We weren't there very long, but the time, this right here has stood the test of time. I shared Wednesday night a little bit from this prophecy that when my wife was laying with cancer, it was this word, and the last few pages, the last few sentences on this word, I want to read to you. "When I get through working on the two of you, when I get all the joints, when I get all the sinew, when I get everything put together just the right way, you'll be able to look in the mirror of the Lord and be well satisfied in the peace in your life. And I tell you, when you're old, you will find great joy. You'll rejoice in the Lord, and the joy of God shall increase in you even to your old age. And you shall carry that with you into eternity, for I shall increase until I see your face." That part about being old and the joy is what we held on to. Dying of cancer at 48 years old is not joyous. And we took this word and we held on to it and we said, "God, this is what you said to us. And she will not die. She looks pretty alive right now." But I want to share this with you because I want to share with you the condition that I was in. Because I want you to see what this transformation can do in a person. I'm going to make you a teacher of young men later in your life. I'm going to have you give your testimony, and your testimony will be, I was like Peter. I was quick. I was impetuous. Oh, I'm not reading the whole thing to you by any means. I was like Peter. I was quick. I was impetuous. I did not always want to wait on the Lord, but I wanted to make my own way and hoped that He would follow me. But I saw Christ. But I saw the way of ministry. And I saw the road that He walked, and I walked with Him and not in front. And He has brought me to this place. That shall be your testimony. Folks, that was the most perfect picture of who I was. I was impetuous. I knew the call of God was on my life, and bless God, I'm going to answer that call. Don't get in my way. Wife, stand aside. We're going to do this, like it or not. That was my attitude. And if that's your attitude for ministry, young guys, that doesn't work. It simply doesn't work. Whether you're in ministry or not, you walk through this life together with your mate. You walk through it together. You grow together. You change and develop as one person. And you fulfill whatever it is that God has put in your heart to do. Men, they're not going to follow you because you demand them to follow you. They're not going to do it. They shouldn't do it. I can tell you, I've learned as a leader, people follow you because of the example that you set. You have to be the example. Your wife needs to watch you follow Jesus. Amen? You follow Jesus, they'll follow you. Amen? A woman wants her husband to be a leader. They want it. It's built into their nature. When God separated and pulled out from Adam, from his insides, He brought forth a woman. When He joined them back together in marriage, He made the strongest unit there. And the enemy, throughout all the generations, has done everything he can to destroy it. But when you walk in this the way God created you to walk in it, the form, the joint that's formed between the two of you creates the most powerful combination. Why do you think the enemy wants to destroy it so badly? Because it is powerful. Because it is unstoppable. But you have husbands that don't want to make decisions. You have wives that try to be the spiritual leader in the household. That will never work, folks. Now, if you're someone, you came to the Lord after you got saved, and you're living in this situation with a mate that doesn't serve Jesus. 1 Peter talks about that. Go over there and let's read it. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversations of the wives. What is he saying here? First of all, women, be in subjection. Now, obviously, I am in no way talking about being in subjection to a man that hurts you. By no means. Nor is Peter saying that. But how many of you know in the church, too many times, the man is not the leader of the family? You've seen it. I've seen it. Who makes the spiritual decisions? The wife does. It's out of order. It's simply out of order. Now what Peter's saying here, he's saying, wife, stay in that relationship. Don't get your brains beat out, but stay in that relationship and pray for that man. Pray for him. That maybe you'll be the one to lead him to Jesus. Maybe your prayers will be what makes the difference in that man's life. But I'm not talking to a room of people that most likely fits. I'm talking to a room of people right here. You're a godly man. You're a godly woman. You have a godly family. What I want you to see is this. As you will do this message and that metamorpho, that transformation that takes place, It's going to change you as it changes her. As you both do it together. Don't have to be in the same room, but I mean at the same time. You're changing. She's changing. You're becoming one, not just with each other, but with God. I have to read some more here. And daughter, your testimony will be, in a day when I did not see what I prayed for, I held on to the hand of God, and He delivered me those things which I desired. My testimony that all things can be done through the faith and prayer of the saints. My wife has watched me over the years. Don't worry. Here, hold my hand. That's okay. Don't worry. She has no idea what I'm going to ask her to do. I want you to see this. As we have walked through life together, the two of us, we have done this message. Together, we fasted, we prayed in tongues. And what's happened, it's produced for me a person I never thought I would ever be. I want to ask you something. When we got married, was I this type of a person? She doesn't need a mic for that. How have I changed? In a brief way, dear Lord. The Word said I was impetuous. Over the years, have you watched and seen that change take place within me?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you. I'm not going to get a lot more words out of her, but yes and no. Over the years, what I've watched in her, I've watched someone that has learned how to trust. She wasn't that way. I've watched someone that's been able to depend on me to make decisions. Are they always the right decisions? Absolutely not. Do I try to make wrong decisions? No. I try to make every decision correctly. But guess what? I make mistakes. That's where the blood of Jesus comes in. But see, she rests in the fact that I make those decisions. She can rest in that. There's a security now that she has that she didn't have before. And this is what I want to share with you. Young people, when you get married to that person, there's going to be changes that are going to take place. There's going to be storms at the beginning. Anyone ever had any storms in your marriage? Raise your hand if you have enough courage to. There are storms. Oh my goodness. Big ones, that's right. Only Jesus. What you do in the face of those storms is going to determine how your life is going to proceed. What you do. We went to, as many of you know, we went to the country of Ukraine. We had every intention that our children would go with us. Their dad took us to court, fought for custody, won custody. I watched my wife as we went and obeyed the Lord and went to Ukraine. For the first month, I thought she was going to die. She had never been without her babies. At that point, they were about 9 years old. She had never been without them all their life. But she followed me as I followed the Lord. And we did something that for most people, they can never dream about doing. We went there. We lived there for 4.5 months. She missed so much of their lives. I'm not going to say that God wants everybody to do something like that. But I have a wife that does everything that she can to follow me as I follow the Lord. And I, like I said, there have been times that mistakes have been made on my part. Wives, you cannot hold that over your husband's head. You cannot beat them up for that. Do you know what I'm saying? If you take that and you use that as a club against them, you're going to cause strife. You're going to cause some irreparable damage without the Lord. You can't do that. You have to forgive them when they make those mistakes. Got to read a little bit more of this. So after all this, so now in the years to come, trial and buffeting shall be your portion. The trial of your faith shall be your portion. Son, don't forget. Don't forget to remember your wife, that she prayed for you to have strength in a time when you didn't have it. She prayed for you to have wisdom in a time that you didn't have it. She prayed for you to be calm and hear the voice of God when you were wanting to run. And that was several times. And daughter, remember that it is I who call and makes the calling. I'm the one that selects. And it is not by the will of man or by the will of flesh, but it is according to what I desire that I choose. Okay, now this is the part that's a little embarrassing. I forbid the two of you from loud, aggravated talking, from devouring one another. I forbid you to be angry and to let the sun go down on your wrath. You see, we had a habit of doing that. When the pressure would get on, we'd just fight. As the years have gone by, I've learned, husband, I've learned how to accept the responsibility for wrong decisions. I've learned how to say I'm sorry. Even when I didn't feel like I was wrong, it's better, husband, to accept the responsibility to say, somehow in this I must be wrong. It's better to do that and let strife go out of your marriage and have peace than to sit there and bicker and allow strife over some teeny tiny little gnat in your marriage. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You can sit and you can bicker and you can fight and you can fuss about the dumbest things sometimes just because you want to be right. And you want the other person to realize how wrong they really are. And it's this way. This is not just for people in marriages. This is for anybody in your workplace. Just the fact that you want to be right about something, you'll fight to the bitter end. Guess what? God's not in that. He's not in that. He's into peace. He's into His presence manifesting. And His presence is not going to manifest where you continually backbite and fight over the dumbest things that really don't matter in the whole scheme of things. You have to stop that. How do I stop it? By changing from the inside out. Whatever that weakness is inside of you that demands that you be right, that weakness you can get rid of as you do this message. Because it's a weakness. Let's go back to the scriptures again. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Go down to verse 2. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. Now, I'm not about to sit here and tell you to start, women don't wear makeup and start wearing ugly clothes. That's baloney. That's not what he's talking about here. Notice he goes from that to talking about the change from the inside out. What causes women to resort to feeling like they have to not just look nice? I'm all into women looking nice. Look nice. Look beautiful. You know? I'm all into that. But when it goes beyond that point, what is that? When it goes beyond just looking nice, when it goes to the point of, as a woman, maybe wanting other men to look their direction, it's a weakness. There's a weakness there that has to be changed. And notice that it started out by talking about women being in subjection. Men, I'll get to you in a little bit. But notice it started out talking about that as if it's saying that there's a weakness there, that woman, you're using that to subvert authority, and that's not the way you get it. The way you get any place in the body of Christ is by the change happening from the inside out. That's the way you do it. Not relying on physical looks, not relying on the outside man, but the inside man. You change. You grow. You mature. Now let's talk about the husband. Likewise, verse 7, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel. Didn't say she was the weaker vessel. It said you give honor to her as if she were the weaker vessel. And as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Some of you are asking this. How come my prayers aren't being answered? It's because of that reason right there. Husbands, you're not treating your wives the way you're supposed to treat them? They're not the weaker vessel. But you're to treat them as though they were. You're supposed to favor your wife. That relationship that you have, husband, with your wife is a sacred relationship. There should be no third party in there except for Jesus. It's you and her. And that's it. You favor her. She looks to you. She looks to you to be the decision maker. She looks to you to hear the direction of the Lord. Now, whenever God gives me direction, I share it with her. I receive input from my wife. We talk about it. But when it comes right down to who's responsible before God for making this decision, it's me. It falls on my shoulders. And I understand that and I recognize that. Some of you in here, you're hurting. You're hurting in your marriage. Maybe your husband doesn't, or your wife, they don't come with you to church. What do? You seek the face of God for change in that person. That's what you do. And you cry out to God for their salvation. You cry out to God for them to hear His voice and to follow after Him. And you don't stop. And you keep doing it. Some of you have been in marriages and now you're just flat hurt. You're just hurt. Things didn't work out the way you wanted them to. The marriage split. And there's pain involved. Why is it so painful? When you join yourself to another person, that joining happens far beyond the level of flesh, and it goes into the level of your spirit. And there's been a divide there. And the only person that can heal that is Jesus. He's the only one that can heal that broken heart. And believe me, He does not want you to stay that way. I watched Him heal my wife over the years. It's not something that happened overnight. But it's happened. Do you know now we have a wedding coming up in a few weeks? Our daughter's getting married. Their natural dad is the one that's springing for the wedding stuff. We bought the wedding dress. We're going to go there together. We'll be there together. The kid's dad and his wife and us. And there's harmony there. Do you understand what that is? Do you understand what a miracle that is? That there's harmony between a family that's been divided like that? I doubt that many people can say that. I know some that can. But if you find yourself in that situation where you have walked away from a marriage and there's so much strife there and so much hatred, God wants to minister to that. He wants to heal that because there is no place for that kind of hurt and that kind of division in His body. He loves you, but He also loves that other person just as much, even though you can't see it. It's hard to see it when your eyes are colored with hatred. It's hard to see that, but it's there. He wants to heal you, and He wants to heal them. It's wonderful. It's wonderful to be up. His name's Griffin. It's wonderful to be able to go talk to Griffin. I get along with him great. Our son came in from Japan the other night. I called Griffin on the phone. They picked him up at the airport in Indiana. I called Griffin, talked to him, talked to Brandon. You see, that's the way it's supposed to be. That animosity and all that trash, that's not God. And you got to get rid of that. You have to let the Lord work on the inside of you and change you. So I'm going to read this part again. I forbid the two of you from loud, aggravated talking, from devouring one another. I forbid you to be angry and to let the sun go down on your wrath. Son, you'll see the day when she is indeed your strength. Daughter, you'll see the day when He's the only one, when He comes in outside of the Lord's encouragement, He'll be the only one that can come in and change your whole day. He'll come in with words of wisdom and comfort to your heart that will strengthen you and give you courage. You know, there were times when we walked through this cancer attack that those words, I watched the fulfillment of those words. I'd walk in the door and she'd be laying in the bed. And truthfully, she looked like she was just about dead. And I could say encouraging words to her, and I could speak to her and encourage her. I've watched this word be fulfilled in my own life. And I tell you plainly beforehand that if you forsake this command, and that if you begin to look at the situation when the trials come, if you begin to let them take hold of you, and you turn at one another and begin to bite and divide, I tell you, you will separate the Lord's strength from yourselves. Remember what we read right there? We read that your prayers would be hindered. When you would get involved with that kind of stuff, you're separating the Lord's strength from you. Some of you don't argue. You just don't talk to each other. Now that hurt right there, because I know that one. That was like a dart. Went straight into somebody right there. You just don't talk. Bless God, if she's going to act that way, I'm not going to talk to her. You might as well just fight. Because you're doing the same thing. You're letting that strife roll right in on your silence. I've watched that before, folks. You know who suffers? It's that little boy in the back seat. It's that little girl in the back seat watching you. Watching you treat each other like dirt. You gotta stop that. That's not God. Can I hear him? Amen. Amen. Just wanted to make sure you're still with me. Daughter, you'll not be able to find the peace of God in this life without your husband. I have bound the two of you together, and it is forever eternal union. And I'm putting it together, and I'm keeping it together because it's the way I want it to be. It's the way I want you to be. Two men are falling apart and falling aside and look good to the front, but are terrible in the back. They present themselves to the world as being one, and yet they are torn to pieces, and they bring a reproach upon the name of the Lord. Son and daughter, I am more interested, as I say over and over again, in making you a man and woman of God than I am making you a ministry. There is so much truth in that statement. There are so many people trying to present themselves. They come to church, bless God, we're here, we're such a beautiful family. They come in, they take their seat, the husband and the wife, and they had a fight on the way to the church, but they're all smiles now, and nobody knows what's in their heart. Hey, you can fool me, you can fool us. You can't fool the Holy Ghost. You want to know why your life is the way it is? There it is, right there. There it is. And I know there's some of you here, your heart's right. Your mate, maybe they're not walking with the Lord, and it is hard. I want you to know, God can step in that place, that void that's there, because of their disobedience. He can step in that void and he can be to you what you need. Whether it's husband or wife, he can satisfy that emptiness, because you're walking through this life, you're being obedient to the word. Maybe your husband, maybe he's a great guy. He just doesn't know the Lord, not interested in the Lord. You stay with him. You're crying out for him, for his salvation. You're walking through this life. I want to tell you, God can fill that void. Because you're walking in obedience. I just read to you that you're walking in obedience because of the fact that you're staying with him in hopes that possibly you can lead him to the Lord. Through your example of what a good wife is supposed to be. And conversely, husband, if you're walking through life with a wife that really couldn't give a rip about church or God or anything else, God can be to you who you need and fill that void. Stay in that relationship. Don't bail out. Your mission field is at your house. And you be the man or the woman of God that he wants you to be. And when their life falls apart, you're going to be right there. And you'll have the answer. And they'll have watched you over the years and say, I know what the right answer is. You see, this message just isn't to couples. Young person, don't go thinking that you're going to marry somebody and change them and make them a Christian. That's a bunch of hogwash. Don't even think like that. Because the first thing you'd start thinking that way, the devil will send some pretty something around you or some handsome somebody around you. And, oh, I've been to church before. Well, that's good enough for me. Forget that. Marriage is hard enough, folks. It's hard enough. We got married. Two Christians got married. That metamorphosis that takes place. There's pain involved. Do you understand that? The changes that take place when you're going through that metamorphosis, and you're both of you, sometimes it just felt like she was like, she couldn't say anything that didn't feel like sandpaper against me. And there are times that, and we've talked about this because we want to reveal the enemy as soon as we see him. There's times that she said something to me, and I have repeated what I heard her say back to her, and it wasn't what she said. How in the world does that happen? The devil will take, he will get between you and your mate, and you're trying to converse and you're sharing with her, and the next thing you know, it's like, what are you saying? You don't think that can cause strife? He's good at that. You have to be on guard for that stuff. You have to watch. Because he's going to try to do anything that he can to separate the strength that's in your marriage. This isn't my normal thing. I'm a teacher. I like to teach. I like to go line up online. I know this is more pastoral. It's not necessarily what I walk in. But I know this is what God's saying to us today. I know that it is. This is what God wants to say to us. So have ears to hear it. Don't look at the delivery vessel. Hey, I'm as imperfect as anybody else. Just ask my wife. She probably won't tell you. I hope not. But I know one thing. The Lord wanted me to deliver this to you this morning for one reason. He wants to minister to you. The Holy Ghost wants to reach inside of you. Some of you are crying out for a mate. You want to get married. You want someone to share your life with. You're hurting as a result of it. God wants to minister to you. Some of you have, you've just left a failed marriage and you're hurting. He wants to minister to you too. He wants to go beyond the natural. He wants to go in the supernatural, reach inside of you, and heal the brokenness that's inside. Some of you husbands and wives, there's been things that you've carried for years. It's time to get past that stuff. Take your eyes off the vessels. My wife and I are going to pray for you. Don't look at us. Let the Holy Ghost minister inside of you. Open up your heart to Him. Let Him do the work. We're just His instruments. We do what He wants us to do. We say what He wants us to say. We open ourselves and let Him flow through us. You have to open yourself up and let Him flow into you. If you come up here and you shut yourself off, I don't care how many people lay hands on you, you're not going to get anything. I watch it. I watch you folks all the time. Some of you stand up here and you think, okay, God, and you don't have any idea. Draw from your insides. You draw and put a demand on the anointing. Be a sponge. Let Him reach inside of you. He'll minister to you. I can assure you of that. So this is what I want to do. As she sings, I want you all to close your eyes. If this has spoken to your heart, and you need prayer, I want you to come up. Some of you are sitting there with your mate. Maybe your mate doesn't want to go up. You come up. Start coming up. Don't let it pass you by. Because we can very easily, in the service, you can go home and you can carry this junk with you. Or you can get rid of it right now. It's up to you. You know, just because you had a failed marriage does not mean you're a failure. Let's say that again. Just because you had a failed marriage does not make you a failure. All that hurt, all that pain, all that hurt and all that pain, God does not expect you to walk through life with it. Somebody here thought they were going to get married. Plans were made. I don't know who you are. Plans were made. Thought you were going to get married, and for some reason it didn't work out. You were right on the edge of getting married. That created a pain and a hurt inside of you. And you've carried it with you. I don't know how long it's been. It's time to get rid of that. It's time to move on. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead.